Now let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll dive in and then learn about work, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your house on a Sunday morning, Lord, to worship and praise you, to learn of your word. We learn, Father, from the book of Luke, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, it was his habit to be in the synagogue on a weekly basis, that he might sit under the teaching of the Mosaic law, that he might sit under the teaching of what he knows to be the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that even as we come in the New Testament with the Holy Spirit as our teacher, and Father, with the opportunity we have to hear the Word of God, we pray that we will never take that for granted. For the time will come, Lord, and it is in some countries of this world that the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God has been outlawed. And people who are caught teaching, Lord, will be subjected to persecution and sometime horrible death. But we thank you, in Singapore we have the freedom to worship you, the freedom to learn your word, and not only that, to practice it freely as well. So Father, we pray today as we learn about work from the Bible, as we look at some of the principles and some of the practices that we may have questions about, we ask your Holy Spirit to guide us. For we know, Lord, that in this short hour or so, 50 minutes or so, Lord, we are unable to cover everything. But I pray that thy Holy Spirit will take every word and apply it deeply into our hearts so that we can grow, Lord, and understand that even as we as Christians in this world, participating in the work of this world, the Lord will still be able to shine as lights for Jesus Christ. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. Be with the Sunday school upstairs. Empower the Sunday school teachers as they take on themselves the responsibility of instructing these little ones in the Word of God too. I pray the little ones will enjoy themselves. Their hearts will always be desirous, Lord, of your Word. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just a blessing. I was driving the van. It's not what the boys say in broken English. I like to learn Bible. I like to learn Bible. So thank God that they like to learn Bible, and hopefully us also, we will like to learn Bible as well. All right. Okay, we're talking about work. And as a balanced Christian, work is a normal employment of life. Yes? Okay? Today, what we're going to do is look at some of the definition of work, purpose of work, some truth about work, and what is our responsibilities as we work. Okay? Now, generally, I'm going to give you a lot of just principles, okay? And trying to think through, you want to go through every scenario is going to be very tough. But I would ask you to stop me if you say, I have a question about this work. We all have work, okay? And after I highlight the fact that we all work, okay? Let's just look at the first verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. If you want to turn your Bibles, you can, but it's actually written down there. The Bible says, let's read together, all right? Let's read together. Ready? One, two, begin. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Okay? The Bible is clear. God wants us to enjoy work and the outcome of our work. Okay? God wants us to enjoy it. It's from the hand of God. I read another verse, Ecclesiastes 3:13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Okay? Ecclesiastes 5:18, behold, that which I have eaten, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God had given, for it is his portion. Okay, if you want to refer the Bible verses at the back as well. Okay, so the Bible says, behold, that which I have seen, Ecclesiastes 5:18, it is good and comely because for one to eat and drink, to enjoy the good of all his labor. That means when you have worked, it is good to just sit down and enjoy a good meal. Okay, the Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. If you work hard, and when you sleep, you will. I think, you know, people who work very hard, after they sleep at night, it's like, you know, they really enjoy their sleep because it's so, because they work hard. Work, we need to understand, okay? We're going to define work first, and after that, I'll give you some of the truth about work itself, okay? What's the definition? For the definition of work that we'll use in this session is an employment for the purpose of financial gain, Okay, the word work in the Bible actually have more than 20 meanings, okay, in different contexts. But the word work, one of the meanings is employment. Okay, and all of us have employment. Even children have employment. Did you know that? Do you know that children also have employment? They have an occupation. What's their occupation? Being a student. That's your work. Okay? Does Noah, the little baby, have employment? Yes, she does. Okay? His job is to play. And to learn. Okay, that's one of the... Because play to learn. Okay? So, we'll just define work in this context. The Bible talks about employment for the purpose of financial gain. Specific to Singapore. Okay? So, what's the purpose for work? In 1 Corinthians 10:31, first purpose is to glorify God. Okay, the first purpose, your work has to glorify God. You cannot glorify God if you're complaining about your work. Okay? To be clear, some of this truth will actually touch very close to our hearts because it will cut through and help us to have a perspective, God's perspective about work. Remember our work, when God gave to us, is to glorify God. Okay, it's to glorify God. All right, in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, it is to provide for the family. Okay, if you look at the verse behind 1 Timothy 5 8, if any provide not for his own, where am I? And especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you study that passage, the assumption that Paul puts in is this. If any provide not for his own, has the idea if someone doesn't work to provide for his house. Okay, the implication is actually work. Okay, if you don't provide, how do you provide? By working, right? That is God's ordained means of actually providing for the house. Okay? So it is to provide for a family. And we thank God, okay, we do have hardworking fathers and hardworking mothers who ensure that they provide for their families. Okay, so the purpose of work in the Bible is to provide for the family. Okay, another purpose of work, interestingly, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians 4:28. You want to turn to your Bibles? You can. The Bible verse is also behind. I just kind of print it so it's a bit faster. Okay, let's read together. Just Ephesians 4:28. Ready? 1, 2, go. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Okay? The apostle Paul actually said one of the purposes of work, number one, is to get the person away from stealing. Okay? If a thief needs to stop stealing and start working, rather than taking things that don't belong to him with his hands, he needs to use his hands to start working. Okay, that's the replacement principle. Okay, so that's why I think in Changi Prison, they do have work, basically to occupy their time so they don't revolt, but also they have an opportunity to work. I believe in Changi Prison also in Singapore, every day as they work, they are being paid. Okay, minimally lah. Alright, $1 or so, just to make sure at least if they leave the prison, they have something with them. So that's the general concept, I think. But Paul actually tells us one of the reasons for working is to give to the person that have need. Okay, is to actually give to the person that have need. And as we work, remember the income that you have is not solely for your enjoyment. It's actually one of the reasons is to give to the person that have need. Okay? Okay, in Deuteronomy 5:7-11, we won't go through that, but actually tells us that we must never close our hearts to a person who have need. All right, you can study that yourself. Work is a blessing from God to bless the individual. How many of you agree with that? Theologically, how many of you agree with that? Practically, some people really enjoy their work. I thank God for those people. And it's actually God's will. Work is actually a blessing from God. Did you know that? To bless the individual. The design of work initially, I think the youth actually touched on last year. Okay? God actually made work. Okay? God actually made work. And when God gives work, the reason for work really is so that we can grow, so that we can understand things, so that we can use our hands, so that we provide for ourselves, so that we can enjoy the blessings of God. All right, this is an important principle. Okay, let's now look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. In all labor, there is profit. Every labor, there is profit. Whether you complain about a profit, there is profit. And there's actually a blessing. Okay, just in Proverbs, just a small point. I've got many verses, but I just used it to highlight. In all labor, there is profit. Okay, work is a blessing from God. I read that. Okay, we all work. We agree? All of us here work. We do something. Okay, children work, adults who work, and although God, after I talk about the truth of work, but because of the fall, work took on a different characteristic. Okay, but for us in our hearts as Christians, to be a balanced Christians, look at John chapter 4 and verse 34. Our attitude towards work must be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read together. For those who are working, may this actually be a principle in your life that you can use to imitate the character of Christ. Okay, John 4:34 says, 1, 2, go. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Okay, of course, in the context of Jesus' life, God gave him one job. And what's his job? Die for man, live his life to honor God, then die at the cross, then after rise again for the redemption of men. And Jesus says, my attitude is to do what God has given to me to finish it. Okay? I don't know about you. Some people are good starters, but they're not good finishers. Okay, example is me. I need to really learn, and I'm thankful for the man that's helping. Sometimes we need to learn to finish the job. Okay, to be faithfully finishing what God has given to us. And that actually translates to the work that we do also in our practical lives. Okay? So we all work. Work is of no value except when God is in it. Would you agree with that? Even our secular work. In Psalm 127, which is not there, just came to my mind, except the Lord build a house, you will labor in vain. You know, a lot of the world's people work for prestige, for money. And at the end of the day, what's the money going to do? Okay, so we have to have that. Work is of no value except when God is in it. Okay? Some people hate to do work. Some people love work. Some people go to great lengths to avoid doing work. So one time I wonder if you just spend more time just doing the work rather than giving excuses, you could have more accomplished. But you know, work must be done. God has his principles about work. Let's look through some truth about work. Let's just go straight in. What is some truth the Bible has about work? Okay, work is not a result of the fall. Does that surprise you? Work is not a result of the fall. Okay, doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to make life hard for you, I'm going to make you work. No, God actually instituted work before the fall. Before Adam and Eve fell into sin, work was already there. Let's look at the scriptures. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, every plant of the field before it was on the earth, every herb, every vegetable of the field, every green grass, vegetation of the field before it grew. For the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. There was no one to do the agricultural type of work, farming work for the ground. And then in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man to put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. To dress it and to keep it. And that's an important principle. The dressing and keeping of God's work involves the following, okay? It means to foster growth and to improve upon it. To foster growth and improve upon it. It also has the idea of preventing it from decline. It also has the idea, when God says to subdue the earth, he has the idea of ruling over it, taking charge of it. Okay? And he also has the idea of administering it. It means taking responsibility and making the proper decisions regarding it. So when God talks about work, it doesn't just, just work long, just do long. Now, have you ever heard people that just do the minimum long? I just kind of go through the motions. No, the biblical principle of work is that we need to improve upon and grow from what we are doing. Okay? When God talks about dressing and keeping it, God doesn't... When God gave Adam and Eve the garden, He expected there to be more flowers after that. Because man has been tilling and working. He expected the flowers to be maintained. All right? Thank God during that time, the flowers don't wither because there was no death. But it was Adam's job to make sure that the garden is well taken care of. Okay? And that involves work. Interestingly, it also involves control and discipline. Adam has to work. Although he enjoyed work. Interestingly, before the fall, work, you don't get tired when you work. Amen? Before the fall, it's before the fall. Alright? After the fall, then we do get tired. It involves discipline as well. Okay? So this is an important principle. When God mandated work, when God gave work to man, He expected man to grow from it, to improve upon the work, to be disciplined about doing it, to administer it, to rule over it, to make decisions regarding it. Okay? So that's work, number one. Number two, I'll just go a bit fast because of time. Work is patterned after God Himself because God works. If God works, then we better be working as well, okay? Some of the verses, Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the rest day, Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Okay? Hebrews 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter in my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. Do you realize God instituted work from the very second verse of the Bible? In the beginning, God made... Actually, first verse, sorry. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. God started work. And then after that, He said, let there be light. That was work. As far as God is concerned, He was working. And then He made sure... Just think about that. How much creativity, imagination, power, and strength and effort did God need to make this world? Of course, God is almighty. Some people will argue God just used His finger to make everything. But you know what? The amount of, to us, humanly thinking, the amount of intelligence God had to use to create this entire universe, would you agree, we can never comprehend? Do you agree that we can never comprehend them? Take a human being, for example. Do you know you have over 900 kilometers of blood vessels running through your body? 900 over kilometers of blood vessels running through. You have over 20 billion nerves in your brain. Many of that not used. Okay? And you've got 20,000 hairs in your nostrils. Okay? You got 206 bones to make sure structurally you are able to. God made all this. God worked to make sure that we would be functional. Does it make sense? God put all His thinking into man. And last of all, in order to make man a living soul, He breathed into man His own breath so that they become an immortal soul. Okay? So God works. And if God worked, then we needs to be working as well. Okay, point number three. Work was cursed as a result of the fall. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. The fall of man depicted in Genesis 3 generated a change in the nature of work. Before the fall, before Adam and Eve fall into sin, work was enjoyable. You could work 8 hours and go back and you still can work another 8 hours. Okay, and you will be strong, and what best of all, when you go to work, when Adam and Eve worked, they enjoyed the work. They really enjoyed the work because they never get tired. They put in 100%. They always get 100% back. Won't you like that? Every time you put in 100% effort, 100% effort comes back to you. That was what Adam and Eve had before. But after the fall, because of sin, God has to curse what men did with life, okay? The replacement of the nature of work, there was more with toil than with joy, okay? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, we just go through some of the things that happened as a result of the fall. In response to Adam's sin, God pronounced judgment. There are two judgments that God pronounced: the death, the eternal death of every human soul because of sin. Okay, but God also pronounced judgment on His work. Let's take a look at a few things. Number one, God cursed the ground. Work became harder. God increased the difficulty of work. The word toil is used implying challenge, difficulty, struggle, exhaustion. That was one of the change that God, when God cursed the ground. Work itself was still good, but the man must expect that he can only receive the good of it as a result of the sweat of his brow. And I would say, work very, very hard for it. Work very, very hard for it. Okay? So work became difficult. The outcome will not be as much. He has to work hard for it. The result will not be always positive because from the ground, the Bible says, produced thorns and thistles. Based on this passage, apparently there was never thorns and thistles because thorns and thistles can hurt man. But it's only after this curse, God introduced thorns and thistles into the ground. Okay? So which means that how hard you work, the result will not always be positive. Hard work and effort will not always be rewarded in the way the laborer expects or desires. You would think that your boss should recognize you, but your work is not recognized. That's a thorn and thistle. And it's interesting, maybe just stop here just to share this. When we are willing to submit to that, it represents our submission to God in His judgment on sin. You say, Lord, I know that I feel that I deserve more. But Lord, because of sin, you have judged it. Lord, I submit to it. And I'll still keep my attitude right before you. That's an important principle. Because work is generally hard today because of the curse of sin. Okay, the next one is noted that man will be eating from the produce of the field. If you read it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. It's no longer of the garden. Garden is generally well pruned, like botanical gardens, what do you call the people who take charge of? Huh? Horticulture, huh? Gardeners generally make sure the garden is well kept. But now Adam is going to eat the fruit of the field. Field is generally have the idea of wilderness, wildness. And generally, the principle of Brandis, this author was quite interesting. He actually highlights the fact, it's noted that man will be eating from the produce of the field, not the garden. Gardens generally symbolize purity and innocence. The earth or field, on the other hand, represents an unbounded, unprotected space and the emphasis of the loss of inhibition and worldliness. Therefore, the work environment can be hostile to the Christians. If you generally love God, but God says part of your work, maybe that's the reason why many of us are having problems at work. But we have to understand it's a biblical principle. It was God's judgment. God never intended it to be. But because of man's sin, the world become a hostile environment for a Christian to operate in. Okay? Doesn't mean we will have defeat, you know. Because if you look at the people like Joseph, Daniel, Nehemiah, they were shining examples of how a godly man can still function successfully in the eyes of the world, even though the world didn't like him. Okay? They did move forward God's purposes in the workplace. And that is an important principle. That's why I firmly believe every Christian is put in a workplace for a purpose. No matter how hostile it is, God has a purpose twofold. One, to grow you as an individual. Number two, to influence that environment for the glory of God. How he's going to do it, I don't know. But we need to, in our hearts, be very settled. God, the reason why it's hostile is because of curse, the judgment on sin. But God, I submit to you. You have put me here. Grant me the strength to stand in this hostile environment for your glory. Okay? So, and then, any questions? And then another point about this is, work can become idolatrous when it becomes an end in itself. That's why in the book of James chapter 5 verse 4, for example, masters begin to manipulate workers for their own gain. When work becomes idolatry, profit becomes the bottom line. That's why workers get exploited and all that. Okay? So that's work. Any questions? Moving on, point number 4, work has genuine value. There's value in words as far as God is concerned. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is a gift of God. Okay? So work has genuine value. All professions, when it's in line with ethical, biblical principles, are honorable professions. Even a road sweeper is an honorable profession, an honest day's job. In the sight of God, it's more important that we go and traffic drugs and risk our lives, okay? There are certain occupations that God will not sanction because there's sin involved, all right? One of it is a beverage, whole beverage. I'm talking about beverage, not Milo and Ovaltine and all this, okay? Talk about the whole alcoholic. No Christians ought to be involved in any form in the kind of occupation, okay? Because God pronounces curse even for the worker who manufactures that to give to a person to drink. Even though we're not directly the one giving, we are the one preparing it for someone to drink. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15, if you need that, God pronounces a curse. So we need to be very careful. Okay, moving on. We need to pursue excellence in our work, whether others notice or not. That's the key. We need to pursue excellence, not when the boss is around, everyone suddenly very quiet, work very hard. Or when not the boss is not around, maybe boss took leave. Some people have extended lunch break, maybe additional coffee break, that kind of thing. We need to be very careful. We need to pursue, okay, that's actually stealing the time. But pursuing excellence in the work, we need to work hard. If you read in Exodus chapter 36, verse 2, Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom in, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Apparently, Bezalel and Aholiab, they're very, very skillful craftsmen. And they were involved in the shaping of the tabernacle. And God used them. And he was very, the Bible talks about wisdom and skill as he did it. Okay? Point number six. And this is an important principle. Work provides for us a natural environment in which we can evangelize and show the character of Christ. Okay, our perspective of work is we go there, we earn money, go home, right? No. In God's perspective, work provides an opportunity for us to evangelize, show the character of Christ. I believe very much God actually wants Christians in their normal work life to show Christian character in honesty, integrity, excellence in work, humility. Like sometimes we do make mistakes. We say, I'm sorry, let me rectify that. Sometimes you may have to pay for it. Well, you just have to pay for it and just go through with that, okay? But when the person, when the boss and the colleague starts to see, by the way, when you do these kind of things, being honest and have integrity, some people may not like it because they're unsafe, okay? They want to cut corners, they want to whatever. Do the right thing, just like Daniel, just like Nehemiah, just like Joseph. Do the right thing. Don't sin against God. It provides a natural environment in which you can evangelize and show the character of Christ. Okay, I just read what I have. It provides a context in which we can represent Jesus by our building of relationships, by our demonstrating character, conviction, and integrity, by doing our work with care and quality. Okay, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. How? One context is your work. Okay? Please don't separate work from your Christian life. It is embedded. You are a Christian first before you are a worker. And the character by which you do your work has to come out from a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Any questions? Okay, moving on. This is an interesting truth. Work is mandated even for the poor, for their welfare. Look at Leviticus 19, verse 10. The nation of Israel was given this Levitical law. Okay? And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard, thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger, I am the Lord your God. In Leviticus, it's interesting, God says, you guys have your field, right? Okay? I want you to leave something for the poor and the needy. Because, remember Ruth? Ruth was involved in picking up the leftovers from Boaz. Field. Okay? The poor, to help themselves, God says, leave it to them. I want them also to be involved in work to take care of themselves. Do something to take care of themselves. Okay? So maybe our Singapore government is doing something right, you know? Not everything that we cannot have a free meal every time. We have to work for it. All right? A lot of people complain, the government don't give, we should give to support us for the rest of our life. No, that is not God's will. Okay? Because, you know, it's interesting. If we are always supported, after a while, we become very soft. And it's actually to our hurt. Did you know that? If we don't work, it's actually to our hurt. If a man just sits down, do nothing, watch TV, and what happens to him? He gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and he hurts himself. God doesn't want that. God's principle for work is for men to improve. So even for the poor, work is mandated. You want to eat? You go out and collect. Actually, it's very simple. Just go and collect. But you do have to move. You do have to get off your heart. Go out and get the thing. All right? So any questions? All right. So these are some truths. What is some of our responsibilities in work as a Christian? Remember, in Genesis 1:28, now God has appointed us over the works of His hands. God has appointed over us the work of His hands. Every man and woman actually have occupations that God wants us to be in charge of. Okay, in the area that you have. For mothers, your area is the family. For fathers, as you work outside, God has given you a portfolio. That's the work that He wants you to do in this economy to make sure things go. When we talk about economy, it doesn't mean economy of Singapore. in God's plan. Okay? And always remember, when you go to a workplace, it was God who put you there, and there's a higher purpose. There's always a higher purpose with God. If we miss that higher purpose, and you're just there to make money and go home, the people around you becomes your responsibility. That's kind of like a small mission field that God puts you in. All right? So just wonder that God has appointed us over the works of our hands. Point number two, we are called to do our work as unto the Lord instead of seeking to impress and please people. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, right? It's behind there. No, I think you have to turn to it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 8, these are very important work-related verses, okay? Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Our obedience to our masters needs to be in, just as you obey Christ, okay? Not with eye service, this is a key point, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, okay? With good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Whether he be a slave or whether he be a free man. The last part talks about the slavery context in the time of the early church or in the time of the early Christians. Paul makes it very clear, when we work, it is not for the purpose of impressing our boss. It's not for the purpose of, the boss asked, okay, I'll just do this. We must never have that kind of attitude. Yeah, sometimes when we are tired, we will have, I just do. But you know what? In God's will, we are to do what? Not as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. In other words, when you get a project from your boss, it's as if Christ gave you that project. That's according to what Paul is saying. But as a servants of Christ. Interesting. When we serve our masters, we must take on, according to Paul, the heart and attitude and the work ethic of a servant of the Most High God. That's what, would you agree? That's what Ephesians says. In other words, when we do the work that is given to us, we are representing Christ. It's as if Christ gave that project to us. Okay? Doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, no matter how much we don't like our boss, we'll still do it because we know that there's a bigger boss. And God makes us His servants even in the work. Okay? So as a Christian, can you see that the Christian principle, the Christian work ethic is actually governed by the fact that we are actually servants of Christ. We work because we love Christ and we thank God for our jobs. Amen? There are some countries of the world, they don't even have jobs. And what they do, they turn to crime, they turn to different things, they abuse themselves or hurt other people. We need to thank God that we have jobs. But God's will for Christians when we work is to as if we are servants of Christ. Okay, when we work. Okay? So we are called to work as unto the Lord instead of seeking to impress and please people in all work. Okay? Even for children, when mommy and daddy are just apply this give you a job to do, you do it as a servant of Christ. Okay? All right? So that we will also receive the reward. Okay? Any questions? Okay, we can talk about some practical things later, all right? Okay. And then in Colossians 3, verse 23, I'll just read this. Okay, whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward, the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. In the context of Colossians 3, employers also should see themselves accountable to Christ for the way they treat their employees. Actually, God has dual responsibilities for the employees. Obey your master, do the best you can for them, honor them. In fact, God says, goes as far as to be loyal to them. Okay? But then God also put the responsibility of the masters to make sure you take care of your employees. Can you see the dual responsibilities? You know, we live in a culture with, why should I do that? If he doesn't respond, why should I? You know, there's always thinking, you need to earn my respect. You need to... No, God says, you have your responsibility as an employee. You work hard. And even if your employer is ungodly and unreasonable, and maybe oppress you, and you don't get a promotion that you should, submit yourselves to God. Because God puts on another responsibility on the employers, and God will judge the employer according to the responsibility that he has given to him. Does that make sense? In other words, you know what Christ is telling us? No need to fight for yourself. Let God do the fighting. Do your job. Obey God. Do your best that you have. Does that make sense? It's very hard because we always want to win, right? How can I work? I work until 8 o'clock to finish this project. The guy get off at 5. You know, the boss, go and play golf. Tell me, hey, you better stay back and finish all these things. And then you say, okay, the boss like that. You know what? You just do the best you can. Okay? Of course, you've got things like FBI, you can negotiate with your boss. Okay? Your boss, I cannot stay until 8, I need to come. But if your boss says no, then the Bible says obey them. Do the best you can. All right? Any questions? Okay, let's move on. If you have questions, you can stop me, okay? There should be no secular or spiritual separation regarding work. God has promised, because ultimately the product of our work will ultimately perish. We must always have a spiritual mind frame when we work. After this, we'll talk about that. All right, point number 3, we must work for the food which endures to eternal life. This is an interesting concept. Jesus actually embed our common labor with things unto eternal life. What does it mean? In John 6, verse 27 to 29, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him had God sealed. Okay? So, in this setting, it seems that the Lord Jesus is highlighting to workers, the common Jews, don't just work for things. Don't put your heart always on work. It's interesting. Do you know why the people followed Jesus? In John chapter 6, Jesus actually identified, you follow me not because you saw the miracles. You follow me because of the bread that you received. Okay, in John chapter 6. In other words, the people were more concerned for their own sustenance more than for the spiritual things. Now, that's an interesting principle, isn't it? Many Singaporeans are so concerned about work, career, advancement. Not saying these things are wrong, but when our heart is so much placed on all these things, we miss the point. Even in work, God has a purpose. Even in work, God should actually be part and parcel of that work. That we give thanks to God for that work. Okay, so the Lord Jesus actually teaches these people, don't labor just for the meat that perishes. Jesus is not saying don't work. But Jesus says don't misplace your priorities. Work is an important principle of life for provision for your family, for taking care of the work of God, for giving to the poor, for glorifying God. These are important principles. But don't let it dominate you to the point that when there's an important spiritual work to be done, you say, sorry, I got to work. And that becomes a priority compared to what God wants you to do. Does that make sense? And that's why Jesus said, we need to have that principle of work. Because I can tell you, many Christians, once they get a job, stop serving God. Agree? Oh, when they're teenagers and when they're young adults, they're free and single, they will serve God. But the moment they get a job, sorry, I cannot come, I've got to do this. And over time, it's incremental. Over time, You just totally separate yourself from the work of God altogether. The Lord Jesus wants us to be very careful of this move. Don't labor. Okay? I'm thankful that many of us tries very hard to juggle that. And we need God's wisdom, okay? To always put God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all what you need will be given to you. Okay? That's God's promise. Put Him first. Okay? Point number four, we need to work hard. We need to work hard. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Put in your effort in everything you do, in your job, especially in your work. Okay? I just want to highlight the sluggard, the lazy person is constantly reproached in the Old and New Testaments. Okay? I just read a few. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The word fat doesn't mean fat, okay? It means he will have a lot of things, okay? Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. A lazy person will not work, but will give excuses, oh, very cold, I cannot. Or they give small excuses or reasons why he cannot work. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 21, verse 20, he coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Proverbs 21, verse 26. And Proverbs 22, verse 30, I like this one. The lazy man, the slothful man saith, there's a lion outside, whether I shall be slain in the streets. I cannot go and do work. There's a lion outside. The lion's going to kill me. We give excuses why he cannot do the work. And a lazy person will give excuses why he cannot do work. There was one time an evangelist would say, why weren't you in church? Then the man would say, I'm asking a man. And the man says, sorry, I have no milk in the fridge. Then the evangelist say, what is milk in the fridge? I'm going to come to church. Well, I suppose we give an excuse. One excuse is as good as another. I have no milk in the fridge, so there's an excuse, right? You need another excuse, just an excuse. No, Christians, we need to work hard. I don't give any reasons why we cannot. All right. Of course, if there are legitimate things that impose on your time, then you need to discuss, be open about it as well. Okay? Because many times in work, we make a choice. In the New Testament, Paul actually says, if a person doesn't work, neither shall he eat. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Okay? In fact, in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 12, now them that we should command and exhort by the Lord Jesus that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. In other words, you work quietly, diligently, don't be busy bodies. That's what he's saying. Have you been in workplaces where by lunchtime is gossip time? It's boss, the guy do this, you should be. You call all kinds of flowery stories start coming out. You know what Paul says as Christians, we must be very careful that we are not part and parcel for that. With quietness, do your work. Don't be a busybody. Okay? Some principles in the scriptures. Okay, next one. We need to work hard in order to be approved by God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Okay, the Bible talks about, let's turn there, right? Matthew 25. Yes, it has to do with spiritual work. Generally, it's a principle. I think the approval by God, even in our work, is given when we actually do our work properly. Okay, Matthew chapter 25, I won't read from 14 to 31, the whole passage of the parable of the talents. Okay, and I want to just highlight that in verse 21, before the Lord Jesus Christ, remember we are servants of God. Paul says that we are servants of God even in our secular employment, so-called secular employment. God says that when we do our work well, we'll receive this. In verse 21, his Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe very much sometimes God puts us in work situations also for the purpose of molding us into the type of person he wants us to be. Okay? And it's an important principle for me. I believe very much God put me in occupational therapy because it's a profession that's supposed to have a very huge base on compassion. Maybe that's why God put me there. For other people, God has different purposes in terms of the direction He wants you in your life. God put you in there. Alright, so we'll be thankful where we are in our jobs. Because God has His purpose, but we need to work hard in that particular job in order to be approved. Okay? And verse 6, point 6 is a very interesting one. We do not work to provide for our needs. Huh? We do not work to provide for our needs. But I thought one of the purposes of work is to provide for our family. Yes. But the principle that God wants us to have in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, just hold on to your thought and just 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, the Bible says, "Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as though thou hast not received it?" Paul, in the context, was actually telling the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was making a big hoo-ha. Wow, see, this is all my work. This is all my effort. And Paul is saying, look, everything that you have, you receive. Because in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Everything that we have, even in work, is a blessing from God. Do you agree with that? In this particular point, the focus is this. Don't look to your work to satisfy you. Look to God to satisfy your provisions. Does it make sense? And sometimes even when you work, some of us complain. Some of the workers complain, "Hey, I worked so hard for these 10 years. How come I don't get promoted?" Yeah? Yeah. How many of you sometimes say that? "I work hard." Okay? And some of us face the injustices of the system. Because I don't have a diploma versus a degree and that kind of thing. Yeah, and that happens in Singapore, unfortunately. That's the hostile environment we live in. But you know what? We shouldn't fight it. We should submit to it and let God say, "God, I'm still going to work my best and let you promote me when the time comes." And that's an important principle. There was one story, I think Jeremiah was telling this story about, was reading, I think it's Jeremiah, I can't remember. He says that there was one boss promoted one guy who was only there for 10 years. Who worked there for 10 years, okay? Another boss actually was there, I think was it during the FBI? I can't remember. Is it? Sorry? Okay, you know, right? So you know, right? One person was 10 years experience, in other words, we worked for 25 years, and so the 25 years came to the person and say, "Why you never promote me?" "Oh, this person has 10 years experience, I got 25 years." "No, you have not. Do you not have 25 years? You have 1 year's experience 25 times. Because basically you never grow from your job." Does that make sense? So a person in 10 years have grown, but a person can be in a job for 25 years but have not grown. In other words, you're just doing the same thing again and again and again and again. So why should God promote you? Okay? So as a worker, it's the same principle. God expects us to grow even in our job. Okay? So that people can see that. We do not work for our needs. Believers must come to see that God is their source of provision and their work is a means by which he supplies those needs. And that's why he gives the injunction, we need to work hard so that God can bless us with those needs. Does that make sense? All right? Okay? Point number seven, we need to remember it's God who gives us our ability. All right? Our abilities as we work. Never, 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 never think that the skills we have, the abilities we have, we develop them ourselves. God expects us to grow it ourselves, yes. When he gives it to us, our job is to improve upon it. All right, children, when parents give us a job, seek to do the best you can. Be creative about it, of course, in line with the principles given. All right, so, but we must remember it was God who gave us abilities in the first place. Number one, he gives us our intelligence. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, he changes the times and seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Because God can just take away your understanding in a second. Would you agree? He just struck you down, you're gone. We need to realize even our life is a grace from God, okay? Our intelligence is given by God. Number two, our health is given by God. Deuteronomy 8:18. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto his father as it is this day." God gives us our health, okay? Otherwise, you cannot go to work. You need to take MC. After you take too much MC, the boss says, "I'm sorry, you are too MC'd. Okay, you need to permanently MC from this place." Okay? Thank God for health. Okay? And can I say this? Sometimes God uses health defects to slow a person down so that he can... Look, I think I shared before, there was one person who was really, really working very hard and things like that. Basically a workaholic. The pastor and the deacon went to visit him and they said, "Hey, you need to be in church." "Yeah, I know, but you know, I've got so much work." And suddenly the man had a heart attack. He was in the hospital. The pastor and the deacon came in, and he looked at the pastor. "He maketh me to lie down." So that the only place I can look is up. Okay? We need to, after what the principle is to balance work and rest. Okay? And the rest is interesting. It's not just physical rest, it's spiritual rest. And Remember, don't work to the point you forget God. Because God can take away the hell just to remind you, hey, you are working to honor me, not for your own devices. Okay? So, we need to remember it's God who gives us our health. Okay? You must remember it is God who gives us our promotions. Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, nor from your boss. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God promotes. God promotes. Okay, we see, remember Haman and Mordecai? Haman wanted it so much. Mordecai was just faithfully, as a Jew, honoring God, doing what he needed to do, protecting the integrity and of his nation. But he was being harassed, a whole nation. He prayed, I'm sure. He asked Esther. In the end, Haman was promoted. Sorry, not Haman. Mordecai was promoted. Haman was deposed. All right? Remember, it's God that gives us our promotion. True importance is not found in position or prestige. I like this. But in the manner in which our work is done and the audience for whom we do it. I say again. True importance of your work is not found in your position or prestige, but in the manner in which our work is done. In other words, how do we do it in our best effort, and the audience for whom we do it. Do we do it for God, or do we for the people to say, well done? If we do it for... You know what God says in Matthew 6? If we do it for men, God says you have your reward. That's what you want, right? Everyone clap. Go ahead, no? But you get no reward for me. But if you do it, why? That's why prayer, fasting, giving of alms are advised, admonished by Jesus to be done in secret. Because the audience to whom you are doing it, to God. So when your boss is not around, always remember, Lord, to the, and the audience is, God, I'm doing it for you. Lord, I'm staying up back late because of this situation, but I just want to do it to you. God will reward you openly. Okay? Any questions? I think Brother Rolando was sharing how he, in his interaction with his supervisor, he always get very low ratings, okay? But always for bonuses and all that, the supervisor actually gives him what he he really deserves, okay? And it's interesting because he shared with me what he learned is that, Brother Lola is a hard worker, I'm sure all of us too, but he works hard, and so he always feels that his supervisor always looking down on him. But at the appraisal time, he's rewarded according to his work. And he learned one thing. He just worked for the Lord. Yeah, there may be certain things that go on and you may feel oppressed. But God will put the right people in the right place to honor those people who honor him first. All right? So we must remember it is God that gives us a promotion. Yes, the boss is the one who signed. I believe God will move the person. Okay? So point number 8. Working harder doesn't necessarily lead to greater prosperity. But that's one of the curse of the judgment on labor. Okay? There's a correlation here. Especially in America and farming communities, how hard you work, you may lose everything in the end. Okay, that's why in the early Americans they really prayed. And when there's a harvest, they really gave thanks because they knew it was God. And even in disaster they gave thanks and knew that it was God. Because they attributed everything to our Creator. Okay, working harder doesn't necessarily lead to greater prosperity. Okay, we can suppose that we can out-earn our needs by working harder, but income is only one of the components that can affect our standard of living. If we miss this truth, we will be inclined to sacrifice other priorities when business is less productive. You know the principle here? When you feel that I need to work hard, so if I work hard, I can cover up next time. But in order to cover up the kind of work, and you see, I need to work harder so that I can cover up. You know what you do? You sacrifice those more important priorities like family, like relationships, like church, like your own Bible reading sometimes. We need to put things in God's perspective. That's why a balanced Christian doesn't prioritize based on what we see. We prioritize based on what God says is important. Okay? Okay, point number 9. We need to balance work with rest in our lives. so that we can have periods of refreshment, renewal, restoration, and relationships. Okay? Resting is part and parcel of God's principle for us as well. God actually instituted a whole day. It's interesting, God actually mandated that and say a person who breaks the Sabbath will be stoned to death. That's how important rest is. Okay? Okay? Workaholism is idolatry. To the point that if you work to the point that you feel that you need to work to the point that you got no other life, you say, I'm just working, working, work. It's idolatry. Because where is God in that? Okay? It's interesting because I was studying today that sometimes when you know the Bible for a long time, then when you really realize that when God actually says you don't keep the Sabbath, it'll stone you to death. Why? You need to understand God's rationale. Why God wants us to rest. And He knows human beings being selfish want to work to get more. That was what the Israelites did. Remember God says, 6 years you will plow the ground, and the seventh year I want you to let it rest. And the purpose God had was because if you keep on working the ground for 6 years, the nutrients and things start depleting. God wants a year of rest so that the ground can restore itself. But no, the Israelites kept on going, right? For 490 years until God says, enough is enough. That's why the 70 years of captivity came in. I'm going to take back the 70 years. Basically, God is actually wanting to give back to Israel. If you think about it, it's a blessing for Israel that God put them away so that the land can rest. So that when they went back, the land will be ready for them to cultivate again. Does that make sense? That even in that, we see God's wisdom, but in judgment, sometimes we feel God is hard-pressed. No, God always has a plan. And so we need to mix work and rest. There's a time to rest and time to work. All right? We need to be careful. In Leviticus 16, verse 29 to 30, let's turn there. It's interesting because this talk about Yom Kippur, okay? Yom Kippur minister is a once-a-year thing whereby they remember the atonement. But it's interesting what God said about this rest day. He relates work and rest, okay? In Leviticus 16, 29 to 31, and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all. No work at all, okay? Whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth, in other words, everyone in your household, no work. Leviticus 16, verse 29 to 30, 31 for those who haven't found. For on that day shall the priest make atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you. It shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. Now, if you look at this in the principle of what God is saying, because of course we don't follow Yom Kippur today. Okay, we don't have to. It's a Jewish custom. But the principle that God actually put is that I want you to set aside time that you rest and be in my presence. And to reflect, Monday to Saturday, we're very busy. Sometimes some people, unfortunately, some people do have to work Saturday. I'm thankful our government puts Fridays off. You don't have to work, do your own stuff. But in some companies, maybe private companies, still have to work on Saturdays, right? So, you know what, on Sunday, the reason why God laid as a day of rest, you know, some people take it literally physical rest. You know what God's intention is? From Monday to Saturday, you do your work on the so-called the Sabbath. Of course, we don't say it's a Sabbath, we say it's a Lord's Day, okay, on Sunday. You know what God is trying, wanting for us? He wants us to set aside the time to reorientate our spiritual compass back to Him. Because on Monday to Saturday, sometimes we're so tired, we can't actually do, we can't actually focus long on God. And so God understands that. He puts one day, that's why coming to church is important. In fact, it is. God actually says in Hebrews 10:25, it is a sin. It's a command. And I've learned one thing about God, and I hope you do too. When God gives commands, sometimes there's very simple reasons. But God imposed it for our good. Just like a parent said, I'm sorry, you sleep at 9 p.m. means 9 p.m. No negotiation, go and sleep. Because in the mom's mind, he's going to have a long day tomorrow. If he don't want to sleep, he's going to crash out, he's going to get sick. Does that make sense? Sometimes instructions are just as simple as that. But God imposed that simply for our good. When we understand that even in the commandments and instructions of the Lord Jesus, it's for our benefit. Let's just obey God, all right? Cheerfully. Okay? We need to balance work with rest in our life. In other words, there's sometimes we work that God set apart. It's time to be in church spiritually. For all of us, we need to have a spiritual time with God on a daily basis. Okay, and that's where you get your rest and strength from to work the next day. Okay, point number 10, when we work, we need to honor our bosses. Ephesians 6 verse 5, servants, be obedient to them. They are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. It's very interesting, the phrasing of the verse. Servants, those people who are employees, number one, obey your bosses. Number one. Number two, with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Respect your boss. No, that's not the idea. Respect them. Respect them because he's your boss. With a singleness, you know what singleness of heart is? Loyalty. As Christians, we need to be loyal to our bosses as you would do unto Christ. And that's the qualifying point. It's interesting how everything goes back to our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know why? Because as Christ makes us more and more like Him, our work life should reflect more of God's character. Does that make sense? And you know what? In the bosses will be blessed by us. And guess what? When we aim for the boss's advancement, in other words, when He gives us a job, we make Him look good by doing a good job. We honor Christ. And guess who? The blessings comes back afterwards. Comes back to us as well. Because in our hearts, God blesses us because we've done the right thing. God blesses the boss through us for our hard work. Okay? Sometimes some bosses take advantage of people. I'm just saying as a general principle. Many people overseas, the slaves, I think you've heard of some people who would trick people into employment, or they would get them to come and work but pay them really little, give them very bad accommodation, basically for their own gain. I mean, those are people who we just pray that God will open their eyes, and sometimes the government has to step in to actually impose that you better pay, otherwise we will shut you down. We thank God. That's why God puts even ruling authorities to protect the workers when the masters don't do it. But for us as Christians, we can pray for God to change the heart of the employer, but if He doesn't, ask God to change our heart, to honor our bosses, to respect them. And I know sometimes it's hard to be loyal to them, because after all, they are your boss. Okay? I want to say this. It's not wrong to, if you want to pray for another job, it's never wrong. Because the Bible has nothing wrong with that. But however, your relationship with your boss should reflect your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You mustn't live with a bad testimony. If you have, you have lost something there. Okay, so be very, work hard. That's why we want to keep our hearts, okay? Work calls for obedience. Even the idea of obedience, similar to point 10, even boss isn't looking, a good worker is constant and diligent to the task and loyal to the organization. The real boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. See your job as a service to Him, not simply to your employer. Employers should also treat employees with respect and fairness. Okay. Any questions? Any questions? Any questions at all about work? Yes, Brian, you know?
Pastor, what if, say, your boss is sometimes boss,
right? Okay. You mean what? Two men. He's married with a man. He didn't employ you to serve him, right? In terms of his lifestyle. So you just focus on the fact that employment. Yeah, but if it goes against your conscience, you need to leave. After all, he's there as your boss to pay you the money. Okay? But, of course, if you have opportunity to share with him, highlight that it's a sin. It may affect your bonus or your promotion, but, I mean, for the sake of his soul, you may have to gently ask God for wisdom how you can approach that. Yeah. Because if you're in an employment situation, you are giving your services in return for financial gain to protect. Just like we give our taxes to the government, the government uses it to support Singapore pools and gambling and casinos, so does that mean we don't pay our tax? No, we do the job. God says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God things that are God's. So we pay our taxes. God will judge us if we don't. Okay? But if Caesar uses it for another purpose, God will judge him. And Jesus is very clear, render to Caesar things that are Caesar's. So as a boss, you're my boss, I work for you. You don't come and ask me to join your party. Example. He said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going. He said, no, yes. Yeah. A wise thing, like, yeah. I suppose I think we have to be very clear, like, that of course when you actually benefit him, to make the implication that we're supporting him, actually I'm just working for the company. How he then use the money would be his choice. Yeah. But I do agree that somewhere along the line you need to pray with a heart and compassion for this particular person to share the gospel with him. And really in your conscience, if you feel that the Lord has other plans, then move according to that. I think it's right to say it's not right and wrong. There's a wise, what's the wisest thing? And could be by moving on, you're basically gently showing him that God's will. About that. That was a previous job. Okay, amen. So it's not a problem now. But anyway, just remember, because when you apply for a job, usually they're going to tell you the background. It's just you're applying for the job. So you dare to do a job. And as a Christian in this secular world, as a Christian in this world, Bible principles ought to define the work we do. Okay? Involved in that is the SOPs. You follow diligently as much as you can. You go by whatever the company says. Of course, the boss asks you to do other things not related. Then, absolutely, as a Christian, remember, in all things, you do have a choice as a Christian to stand for what is right. If in your conscience, you know, I'm not going to drink. But you have to, as a sales, you know, you're marketing, you know, you have to get clients, right? So, no, I don't drink. And God can still bless if you don't drink. Okay? But when you make a stand, some people say, sorry, I'm going to use you. Then, okay, then fine, look for another job. God will provide. When you stand for him, sometimes God gives you a better one. All right? So any other questions about work? About work, I know these are just general principles, but I know there are some people who face a lot of trouble. What if you have unreasonable bosses? This is a hard one. Okay, we'll be finishing soon. Okay. I think one big issue is why we're unreasonable bosses. Bosses who really, really put the... So what do we do? What do we do? Anyone has the experience and what maybe you can share what you did with your unreasonable bosses? Okay, I think I want to make the first thing, number one, no matter how unreasonable your boss is, you still must be a Christian first. The principles that define you must still be a Christian based on what the Bible says. Okay? If your boss asks you to do something that is against God, make your stand as clearly, as kindly, and sometimes it might be a sacrifice on your part because, so if you don't do it, then I'll sack you. You know what then you say? Then sack me. Or rather, die, then disobey my God. Okay? That's when sin is involved. Okay? But what if your boss just pile onto you a lot of work? And you find that it's really affecting you. I think the principle is that you just have a talk with your boss. Boss, I only have these hours of day, and you must be willing to talk about it. I only have these hours a day. If you ask me anything, work of three men. Then you have to pay me three men's wage. I mean, of course, you need to be polite there. Like. All right? But if you really find too much, just tell your boss, look, I don't think I can. Not that I don't want to do, but for me to do a good job, you're giving me three persons job. Okay? And if your boss say no, you just have to handle it. Then you pray for wisdom how God wants you to do it. Really, I can't tell you, but you need to seek the Lord in terms of His wisdom, and then maybe we can sit down and then pray about the specific details, how God wants us to do that. Alright? Every situation is different. Every boss is different. And maybe there's certain, maybe you have to ask, like Daniel actually asked the eunuch. Remember Daniel in Daniel chapter 1? The eunuch said, hey, you don't eat this food offered to idols. I die, no. Wait, after the king said, how come Daniel and his friends are so weak? Remember in Daniel chapter 1? If you read through, and then, but Daniel already purposed in his heart, he's not going to defile himself with the king's meat. I'm not going to partake of all this. And so, he actually tried to understand the eunuch first, and that's an interesting principle. See, the eunuch is afraid for his life. And so Daniel then said, okay, given these 10 days, we just eat vegetables and fruits, which are not offered. Okay, if after 10 days, we are weaker, okay, we'll follow you. You know what Daniel was doing? God, you need to help us. We don't want to break this rule. We don't want to break your rules. But God, you've got to intervene. And guess what? After 10 days, Daniel was stronger, brighter compared to those people who take the king's meat. And generally, it is so. If you take more vegetables after 10 days, you try vegetables and fruits for 10 days, you actually get healthier. Amen? That was a Bible principle. God already put it in the Levitical law. Just go ahead and try it. Daniel could trust God. But you know what? Daniel still said, Lord. Interesting. Daniel still purposed in his heart first. And then he went and said, look, okay? And God didn't ask us to be offensive to people, but He asked us to be biblical and trust Him even in your situations, okay? The person who puts his trust in God, God will find a way out for you. He promises that. But you need to put your eyes on Him. Not on what you think, nor how you think it should be, but say, God, I just do what I need to do as a worker to the best of my ability. Lord, you help me. Okay, any other questions? Yes, Adele? He's putting up his hand. Anyone else? Anyone? That's a word of prayer, right? Then after that, we can have some rest and prepare some service. Lord, thank you for this learning on work. I'm sure there are many other questions. Not too sure even for myself. I've presented it clearly. But I pray those principles will govern our thoughts. That, Father, we will be able to answer them. Lord, I pray for every worker out there who are facing some trials and difficulties in their work. Lord, I know they love you and they want to be a good Christian to honor you. But sometimes because of the hostile environment, Lord, we do not get back what we put in. But we're willing to submit to that according to your will. Help us to learn to trust you. Thank you for your provisions, Lord. As we work, we look to you, Father, firstly, for all needs and all provisions. We know our job, our employer, is just your means of allowing us the opportunity to provide for ourselves, our families, our loved ones, your work. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow, we pray in Jesus' name.